while also restricting access and choice. The chamber has submitted comments on the original proposal, noting a number of areas of concern, along with a letter to former Labor Secretary Hilda Solis. Alice Joe with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce says the fiduciary rule discriminates against small businesses with less than 100 employees in their retirement plan.
First of all, that's one major red flag because, as we all know, small businesses are the engines of job creation. By targeting them, that's never a good thing.
Powered by WesternJournalism.com, I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
I came here for two reasons. One, because I care deeply about Jeb. And two, because I care deeply about our country.
Former President George W. Bush is campaigning for his brother Jeb in South Carolina, explaining why he thinks Jeb would make a successful commander-in-chief. He says that he has both the character and experience to be great. He also said voters can trust Jeb to be measured and thoughtful and to follow through in his words. Recent polls show that George W. Bush's approval rating among South Carolina Republicans is 84%. The biggest winners on music's biggest night are Taylor Swift, Kendrick Lamar, and Ed Sheeran. Swift won the Album of the Year Grammy for 1989, and Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud is Song of the Year. The White House isn't saying who President Obama might nominate to replace the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who died Saturday. However, spokesman Eric Schultz says it could be someone similar to Obama nominees Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan. Senate Republicans have vowed to block any nominee Obama puts forward. You're listening to USA Radio News.
GEICO applauds your inner road champion.
A solid bump from Geico's fist to yours goes out to the little rebel that lives within. The one who made you daydream as a kid about owning a chopper, chroming it out, and chewing on toothpicks. Just to look tough. For you, champ, Geico insures motorcycles with great rates. And to further fuel your engine, you can access your policy anytime, day or night, through the Geico mobile app. Because Geico knows that even make-believe renegades need help from time to time.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
How big is Rite Aid's Big Point event? Plenty big. The more participating products you buy with Wellness Plus with Plenty, the more Plenty points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty points worth at least $50 in savings, only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
Senator John McCain weighs in on a new Supreme Court justice.
We should wait to replace the late Justice Antonin Scalia, according to Senator John McCain. He says the U.S. Supreme Court justice nomination began fraying in 1987.
That was when Judge Bork, totally qualified individual, was nominated by President Herbert Walker Bush, and they savaged him and they destroyed him. That's when this whole process began to unwind.
McCain says the process needs to wait until after the presidential election.
Have the president nominate whoever he wants, and obviously he has that right, but the Senate has also the obligation, and I believe we should carry out that obligation after the next election.
Scalia passed away this weekend at a Texas ranch of natural causes. He was 79. I'm Melody Burkett.
Damage and injuries are being reported as severe weather rips across the South. In the Florida Panhandle, homes were damaged from a tornado that rolled through several counties. Behind the wild weather in the South is a winter storm hitting the East Coast. You're listening to USA Radio News.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a .com domain name for only $2.99 for the first year. Right now at GoDaddy.com. 2-year purchase required. Second year is $14.99.
Doctors Without Borders says an airstrike destroyed one of its clinics in northern Syria Monday. The aid organization says four rockets hit the clinic in two passes. The group says at least eight staffers are missing. Doctors Without Borders says it appears the attack was deliberately aimed at the healthcare facility. Monday's attack comes less than a week after airstrikes hit a Doctors Without Borders hospital in southern Syria, killing three people and wounding at least six. A retirement rule could threaten small businesses in Colorado and have the possibility of resonating effects across the country. Alice Joe is with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
When you look at how this regulation is written and you're going to increase the cost of offering a retirement plan, that's just going to make it that much more difficult for entrepreneurs and other small business owners in Colorado to be able to do that.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is expressing concern with the Department of Labor's re-proposal of the definition of fiduciary regulation. The concern is that the fiduciary rule will limit investors' ability to seek financial planning services while also restricting access and choice. The Chamber has submitted comments on the original proposal, noting a number of areas of concern, along with a letter to former Labor Secretary Hilda Solis. Alice Joe with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce says the fiduciary rule discriminates against small businesses with less than 100 employees in their retirement plan.
First of all, that's one major red flag because, as we all know, small businesses are the engines of job creation. By targeting them, that's never a good thing.
Powered by WesternJournalism.com, I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Good morning. You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com. It's 11:07 and time for Chamber Radio weather. It's currently 53 degrees with overcast and slightly rainy skies here in Flemington, New Jersey. For today, we will definitely have some heavy rain and patchy fog with a high of 57. For tonight, showers likely, then mostly cloudy with a low of 31. For tomorrow, Wednesday, partly sunny skies with a high of 44. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, low of 25. Thursday, sunny skies with a high of 38. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of 19. And Friday, looking like partly sunny skies with a high of 40 degrees. So don't forget your umbrellas when you're heading out the door today. And you definitely don't even really need a coat today other than a raincoat. So that's HuntertonChamberRadio.com weather. And it's now time for Some Things About Money. This is Michelle Heidi with me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton, Heidi, and Associates. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Michelle. You certainly have a whole bundle of energy for a horrible rainy day.
I don't know about that.
Good to have you back.
Good, okay. Yes, it's good to be back.
Yeah, let's see. We had a little bit of a pleasant surprise this morning when there was some news as it relates to freezing oil production.
Yes.
And, well, unfortunately, it doesn't look like the markets are believing that. So,
no.
You know, we've had a little bit of a pullback from the previous high of the day. Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is sitting at +61.73. That's up about 0.4%. The S&P 500 is up 10.8, up a little bit over 0.5%. And the NASDAQ is up over 45 points, 1.04%. Over in Europe, we're looking at a mixed screen there. I guess stocks had slipped a little bit as the oil output deal has disappointed and miners have fallen as well. The FTSE, that is the green portion of the screen for Europe. That's up over 19 points, a third of a percent. And the DAX, well, they're down 106, 1.15%. The CAC 40 is down 16, about 0.4%. Speaking of oil, as I said, oil earlier in the day was green, but currently down 47 cents a barrel to $28.97. Gold prices, well, again, this is another day of decline for that precious metal. Gold is down $23.50 an ounce, or 1.9%, $1,215.90. And the 10-year Treasury, with all of this stuff going on, well, the yields have risen a bit, currently up to 1.7637%. So, you know, that's the update there. Now, while you're out and about on President's Day and shopping, well, you know, though the U.S. markets were closed yesterday for President's Day, Asia and European markets were open for business. Asian markets, well, they finished Monday mixed as China mainland shares came back online after the Lunar New Year and Japanese equities surged over 7% on a weaker yen. Though the Japanese fourth quarter GDP fell to -0.4% quarter over quarter and was weaker than expected, investors appeared willing to dismiss the negative economic data as backward-looking. Additionally, Chinese data showed a 6.6% decline in exports year over year. That also didn't seem to sour investors' moods yesterday, instead keeping their focus on higher oil prices and building off of Friday's positive U.S. equity performance. In Europe, stocks were higher by roughly 3% on Monday as ECB President Mario Draghi continued to reiterate his commitment to reevaluate policy actions if necessary. Separately, oil was up roughly 3% Monday on speculation that oil ministers of Russia and Saudi Arabia would hold meetings regarding production, which they did, and there was at least a spoken deal to curb production, but we shall see whether or not that actually occurs. I mean, overnight, you know, the world's two largest oil producers, which of course are Saudi Arabia and Russia, had agreed to freeze production at early January levels. Qatar and Venezuela also agreed to participate. Momentum somewhat faded, though, as traders had hoped for deeper production cuts. Nevertheless, oil rallied above $30 a barrel during the session and sent Asian equity markets mostly higher. Separately, the Chinese data showed that aggregate and new loans far surpassed expectations, rising to new record levels. Chinese mainland shares ended the session higher, again, over 3%. Japanese equities were also up modestly after the previous session's large gains. Australia, well, they finished higher by over 1%. So let's see what else is going on. U.S. dollar. You know, there could be some weakness there. Now, the U.S. dollar index, the DYX, began February with its largest seven-day decline since March of 2009. On Thursday, February 11th, 2016, the index fell to a three-month low. Short-term momentum indicators for the DXY currently register their weakest reading since late August of last year. Now, what does all this mean? Well, a weakened dollar has at least two, among multiple, immediate impacts, at least temporarily. It can make oil and other dollar-denominated industrial commodities cheaper for global buyers who are paying in currencies other than the U.S. dollar. U.S.-based investors, meanwhile, diversifying internationally through American Depository Receipts, ADRs, could see the impact of a weakening dollar immediately. ADRs fluctuate in value as shares on non-U.S. companies. They represent change, and as currency for those shares traded in changes, the value of the international shares get converted to U.S. dollars in the ADR price. All else equal, a weaker dollar boosts ADR values. Now, our micro team currently believes the U.S. dollar strength could ease in value over the coming months as expectations for Federal Reserve rate hikes diminish. So we therefore believe that that could be a good time for investors to revisit the issue of international diversification. Of course, international investments have not done very well because of the strength of the U.S. dollar. So if that changes, back to diversification we go.
Absolutely.
So, oh, so many things going on in the world.
So many things going on.
So what do you think we should do at this point?
Well, let's see.
I don't know.
Just perusing the headlines.
Go dance
here
in the rain?
That's always fun, especially it's do a grouch a favor day today.
I was grouchy when I heard that schools were either delayed or canceled as I'm like flying down Route 78 and 31 to get to the office this morning. I thought it was kind of interesting. But then again, it is consistent with Hunterdon County Board of Education.
Well, I do admit my driveway was a little bit slick.
You're supposed to treat it.
We did treat it. We snowblowed it and put salt down last night, and it was still a bit like a glazed donut this morning. I mean, it was fine by the time I came into the office, but, you know. But anyway, so yes, it's do a grouch a favor day today. So we'll have to see if we can, I don't know, do we know any grouches?
I don't know. I could work on it.
I don't know. I can be a little grouchy in the evenings, being how I'm much more of a morning person than an evening person. But anyway, let's see. I guess we'll take a quick break, and then when we get back, we have lots of great information to cover today, not only about the markets, but yesterday when I was home, don't ask me why, but I pulled out my green folder of tax information and said, gee, maybe I should start putting my tax stuff together for tax time, and then I kind of closed the folder and decided that yesterday wasn't the day for that. So some information on how to choose a tax preparer. Also has some information on some college majors that won't leave you drowning in debt. And lots of other good information when we get back. So we're just going to take a short break, and we'll be back to Some Things About Money in just a few minutes.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You got
a friend. For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-519-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Some Things About Money here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Again, this is Michelle Heide with me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton, Heide & Associates. We are located in Annandale, New Jersey, just north of where the barbecue restaurant used to be. And our phone number is 908-713-6600. You can also check out our website at www.michelleheide.com. That's MichelleHeide.com. Lots of great information and articles on there. Since there is so much information out there nowadays, even just looking at whether it's CNBC, Bloomberg, Yahoo Finance, there's all these mixed signals. You know, on one hand, you have danger signs flashing for global economy. Then on the other hand, you have, you know, start shorting the gold market. All of this is way overblown. So what is an investor to do?
Well, I guess the question really becomes what's ahead for the markets. And, you know, if you look at the quick and dirty, you know, as far as what Ameriprise believes, economic growth in the U.S. and globally does remain slow but steady. Volatility calls for a balanced portfolio. Bond markets will continue to contend with higher interest rates. And, you know, consider expanding allocations to global and alternative investments. Now, every quarter, we summarize the findings of the Ameriprise Global Asset Allocation Committee and provide guidance to investors based upon its insights. And here are some of the areas that we're looking at and where we stand here at the start of 2016. Global economic growth is likely to remain modest in 2016, similar to what we experienced in 2015. Markets have been showing some trepidation as we've begun the year, but we believe generally solid fundamentals should provide strong support for economic activity, with the risk of a recession occurring this year appearing to be somewhat limited. We forecast domestic economic growth of approximately 2.4%, and that's slightly ahead of the estimated pace of 2.1% for 2015. Internationally, we believe Europe and Japan should continue to see modest improvements, with both regions continuing to benefit from much cheaper currency values. China, meanwhile, has been a key source of a concern over the last few months, yet we believe these fears are overstated and that China will continue to experience growth, albeit at a slower pace. Well, U.S., well, we believe U.S. stock prices can move higher in 2016, but the path could be marked with challenges. As the year gets underway, equity prices are no longer cheap. The tailwinds of easy monetary policy appear to be dissipating, and global growth is slow. In an environment of sluggish economic growth and increased market volatility, we believe the best opportunities will be found in stocks of companies that demonstrate financial stability and earnings visibility. We continue to favor companies that have strong balance sheets and cash flow structures, as well as growth prospects. These companies can grow through different stages of the economic cycle, including slow growth environments. Now, we anticipate interest rates to move modestly higher in 2016, with yields on shorter-term securities likely rising faster than their counterparts on the long end. Diversification still remains key within fixed income allocations. We believe government and high-quality corporate bonds may contributes some stability to overall portfolios, especially through volatile periods. The days of Federal Reserve policy supporting credit expansion may be behind us. Fixed income investors are likely to benefit from a selective approach to companies and industries issuing bonds this year, increasing the benefit of an actively managed approach. Finally, investors should place a priority on owning bonds or bond funds with strong liquidity to avoid ill-timed sell-offs during periods of potential market turmoil. Our expectations for equity as well as fixed income returns for this year are modest. We believe volatility will continue to make it difficult to determine near-term movements in the market, and therefore we recommend a more balanced asset allocation. This year's best investment prospects speak to both risk and opportunity for 2016. We believe a more balanced approach across portfolio allocations is the most prudent approach going forward. Not all stock markets are created equal, though, and while the U.S. equity area is still offering an attractive and stable backdrop, opportunities and valuations are more compelling overseas. Unlike the U.S. monetary policy and overseas markets may continue to evolve, becoming more supportive over the course of the year and creating tailwinds for key areas like Japan and Europe. Now, investors should consider an increased focus on managing portfolio risk. We believe those who have not already adopted alternative investments in their portfolio should consider doing so. We believe alternatives can reduce risk in both equity and fixed income portions of portfolios and could help dampen the higher volatility we expect to see this year. So in our office, we have started to do this some time ago in order to provide additional safety. Well, safety is a word that we really shouldn't be using. Let's say portfolio diversification,
right,
to limit risk based upon the more eggs in that basket theory. We're more baskets with more eggs in them theory. And this way, you know, the more diversified we are within the portfolio, the more we have the ability to temper risk. And alternatives, of course, should be part of that strategy. Now, if your financial advisor isn't going into such great detail and explaining to you how these things work, we do encourage you to give us a call at 908-713-6600, and we can talk about how all this works and what it means to you. So take advantage of it. It's always good to have a second set of eyes on what it is we're doing, just in case.
Absolutely, because as we've talked about before, you can never completely eliminate risk. Because remember, folks, even having a portfolio 100% invested in cash, CDs, there are risks involved in doing that. One of those risks being inflation risk, interest rate risk. You have to factor in what your keepable return is after you factor in any taxes that might be due on it, those types of things. And then obviously the big risk would be the risk of outliving your money. Unless you know for sure exactly how long you're going to live, which none of us do, it makes it very difficult for planning. So diversification is key.
The other risk in that, Michelle, is also liquidity. Now, with the job picture still being tenuous for so many millions of Americans who can't do better than part-time employment, and life happening. You have kids to educate. You have mortgages to pay. You have medical bills that now have higher deductibles and copays under the Affordable Health Care Act than we did previously.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have the ability to access funds. There may be a family member that needs help. You never know when things occur. So, be very careful when, these salespeople come out of the woodwork and start promising you safe investments. Typically, they're pushing annuities that pay very high commissions that are not really liquid and are very expensive.
Annuity structured settlements
structured
we're starting
settlements,
to hear more
about.
Yeah, a
lot more of that, too.
Private real estate investment trusts.
People are kind of creating all
of
these
oil and gas partnerships
to play on the concerns of investors. And, if you're not registered, I hear a lot of people saying things that registered investment advisors are not allowed to say. You really have to look at broker check. You have to go through Better Business Bureau. You have to take a look at the registration in the various states that these people are doing business in. And you have to tear apart, get to the guts of the investment itself so you have a thorough understanding of where the risks are and where the costs are of these things. And if somebody's telling you over and over, it's safe, it's safe, it's safe, well, you know, somebody who's registered with the appropriate regulatory agencies, they're not allowed to say that.
No.
They can't make guarantees. They can't make promises, whether it be on safety or on investment returns. So when you start hearing that, you head for the hills.
And even if they provide you an illustration or a proposal,
oh,
again,
Lord,
they can put any numbers in there that they want to make it look how they want it to look. That's not a
just
guarantee
either. Just
imagine
what it looks like when you go onto
buyer
your computer
beware.
And you see some link that looks rather professional notification that appears to be coming from the U.S. government or some other agency or business that you're somewhat familiar with. If you click on that link, what happens?
Exactly.
Only bad things.
Only bad
so
things can happen.
So no matter how professional it looks or how good it may sound, be very careful.
Absolutely. Never be afraid to ask questions. And we talk about that quite often on our show. There are never too many questions you can ask. And if the person you're talking to seems to get irritated with you asking questions, then maybe that's a red flag that you need to speak with someone else. They should not be afraid to answer your questions.
You're getting a great return and it's safe. Really?
Yes. Due diligence. And that also has to do with, again, I mentioned earlier, tax time. And we've talked many times about how to choose the professionals that you work with. And that's also the case in looking at hiring a tax preparer. You know, if we take a look at last year, more than 78 million returns were filed through a paid preparer versus more than 50 million that were self-prepared, according to the IRS. And it's interesting, just four states, New York, California, Oregon, and Maryland, only states that require paid tax preparers to meet certain standards if they don't already possess a recognized credential, which is why, obviously, it's important to do your research when it comes to entrusting someone with your tax return. So here are a couple of names that folks go by in terms of those who prepare tax returns. First, there are enrolled agents. Ooh, that sounds fancy. These are professionals certified by the Treasury Department specifically to deal with tax-related issues and represent taxpayers in front of the IRS, which is basically a fancy way of saying they are official tax experts. Enrolled agents have to pass a three-part exam and a background check or have worked for the IRS at least 5 years in a position that required them to interpret the tax code. Ugh, sounds kind of boring, but a very important job to have. They also have to adhere to certain ethical standards, such as they can't charge a percentage of a client's tax refund as the fee they're doing their return, and they also have to complete a minimum number of hours of continuing education each year. Secondly, we have certified public accountants, otherwise known as CPAs. Those are also licensed financial experts. They deal with taxes. They could deal with accounting needs. Like enrolled agents, they also have to pass an exam plus complete a certain amount of work experience. They also do have continuing education requirements to meet as well. Then we have the tax prep chains. Whether it's H&R Block, Jackson Hewitt, they have some licensed professionals. For instance, H&R Block has 8,500 enrolled agents out of 80,000 tax professionals it employs during peak tax season. Jackson Hewitt has 25,000 tax preparers. Both companies require every preparer to pass an initial exam. Jackson Hewitt requires its pros to pass his exam every year. H&R Block requires a minimum number of hours of continuing education each year, plus testing in order to achieve a higher certification level. And then lastly, we have volunteer income tax assistance. The IRS program provides free tax return help to several groups of folks, generally those with annual incomes of $54,000 or less, the elderly, disabled, and those who speak limited English. The program had more than 90,000 volunteers last year, who all have to go through at least a basic training course and pass a certification test. There are sites all across the country. I know there are some here in Hunterdon, often places such as community training centers, schools, things of that nature. Some of the things that you want to keep in mind in terms of red flags, fee structure. You always want to ask questions up front about how you'll be charged for a professional's services. CPAs and enrolled agents are not allowed to charge you based on the size of a potential refund. Tax prep chains like H&R Block generally charge based on the complexity of your return, not your refund. Then you also want to trust your gut. You may be onto something if your interactions with your tax preparer just don't feel right. Does it feel like they're trying to get you a bigger refund by bending a few rules? Well, if your preparer is saying things that really don't add up, then some bells should go up. So again, you want to make sure that A, you find someone that you're comfortable with, You know, in our opinion, it's always good to go with folks that have the credentials and the backgrounds, the continuing education, so that they are keeping up with the continuing complexities with the IRS tax code. And just because you go to a quote-unquote retail type of store to get your taxes done doesn't mean they're going to be any less expensive than if you hired a licensed CPA, for instance. So with that in mind, we are going to do our bottom of the hour check of the news and weather, and then we'll be back. Again, you're listening to Some Things About Money here on 100andchamberradio.com.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
I'm disappointed. I really am. I really wanted to talk to them and hear their side.
Anti-Beyonce protesters were a no-show today outside NFL headquarters in Manhattan. They were expected to protest Beyonce's halftime performance at the Super Bowl, but the only ones to show were supporters of the singer. Critics say Beyonce referred to the Black Panthers and the Black Lives Matter movement in her dancing and formations. The UN Security Council has announced the death of former UN Secretary General Boutros Boutros-Ghali. Venezuela's UN Ambassador Rafael Ramirez, the current council president, made the announcement at the start of a meeting on Yemen's humanitarian crisis and asked members to rise for a moment of silence. Boutros-Ghali, an Egyptian politician and diplomat, was the sixth Secretary General of the United Nations, serving from January 1992 to December 1996. A huge 400-carat diamond found in Angola is virtually flawless. A South African mining company announced the rare find yesterday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Sometimes what you want most from your car is nothing. No headaches, no surprises, no anxiety when it's late at night and you're on some distant freeway in a thunderstorm. Owning a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz can be that anxiety-free experience on every level. You know you're in one of the safest and most thoughtfully engineered vehicles on the road. And with an unlimited mileage warranty, you can drive as far as you want for up to 3 years, with roadside assistance included. Your sense of confidence and adventure are as unlimited as the warranty itself. Now you can drive the car of your dreams and realize that nothing is everything. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through February 29th, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
All right, it's 11:33. We'll do a quick check of the weather. It is currently 55 degrees here in Flemington. A little light rain, fog, mist out there. It's a good day to stay home on the couch and watch movies. Well, that's not happening anytime soon, but it's a nice thought.
Points. The S&P up over 16, the NASDAQ up almost 59. So improvement over the last 10, 15 minutes.
Absolutely. Wow, what happened? I think we should do the news again. But
yeah, there you go.
Expectation for weather for the rest of today, we are going to be seeing some heavy rain at times, although it does look like the system is going to blow through rather quickly. But bring your umbrellas, although it might also get very windy, so maybe an umbrella isn't the best strategy. For tonight, we will also have potential for some showers, then mostly cloudy with a low of 31. For tomorrow, Wednesday, partly sunny with a high of 44. Thursday and Friday look sunny as well, anywhere from the upper 30s into the 40s. So that's 100andchamberradio.com weather. And let's get back to the markets. And what is happening?
Well, the markets, like I said, are doing better. Europe, not so much. We're still looking at some problems there. The DAX and the CAC 40 are still down, though the FTSE's up 15.5 points. Looking at oil again, it's down 55 cents a barrel to 28.89. Gold prices, well, they're down 25.90 an ounce to 12.1350. So much for the gold rally. And the 10-year Treasury is sitting at 1.774, up a tick from our last report.
All right.
So, you know, Michelle, you know, we should play a little inside baseball to give our listeners a bit of perspective on the things that we're talking about as it relates to the Department of Labor's fiduciary rule.
I think that's
and
a great idea.
Annuities. And a lot of people in the business are now saying this could be the end of the 7% commission. Yes!
Yay!
I said it.
No,
it's
more free 7% trips, big
commission.
Yay!
Now, the imminent fiduciary rule coming out of the Department of Labor is going to drive down the commissions advisors earn from selling annuities. and caused some to stop offering the product altogether. And that's according to Scott Stoltz from Think Advisor. And he's probably right. Under the Department of Labor proposal, which will put advisors overseeing retirement accounts under the fiduciary standard, they will have to either stop collecting commissions altogether or disclose their conflict of interest and sign a ton of paperwork before even mentioning the product, according to Stoltz. Advisors choosing the first route will have to collect all of their commissions from hourly fees, fee-based, on assets under management or a flat fee, and most will thus give up selling annuities, according to his website. Under the second option, advisors can take advantage of the best interest contracts exemption, but will have to jump through a lot of hoops, including disclosing the size of their commissions. Ooh, scary. Mm. The customer's ability to compare commissions will cause many advisors to lower theirs. Defending the current 7% commission will be far more difficult than a 2% to 3% commission. Some advisors, however, may decide to walk away from product entirely, and that would be to avoid any possible liability arising from some of the unclear language in the rule regarding what's a reasonable commission, what must be disclosed, and how. Together, these forces will cause a new commission structure to emerge with upfront commissions of 1% to 3% and an annual trailing fee, according to Think Advisor. Meanwhile, annuity issuers will probably begin offering zero commission annuities with no surrender charges. Ooh. Annuities with some surrender charges and higher cost annuities designed for use with the BICE requirements. Now, while they're not going away, annuity sales are expected to plunge at least 50% in the short term while advisors figure out how to, make them work under the new regulations.
Hmm.
Yeah, but the upside of all of this will be a reduction in the number of documents necessary to establish suitability, since companies will not have to play as big a part in a product with smaller commissions, according to Stoltz. Whether regulators agree with this assessment remains to be seen, however. So let me get this. They're going to have to disclose more. They're going to have to tell their customer how they're being paid and what they're being paid. There's going to have to be all sorts of suitability requirements to ensure not only is this talked about in detail so the customer thoroughly understands what they're getting into, but the advisors are going to have legal responsibility to provide all of this disclosure, whether it be how it works, any restrictions, expected returns, internal costs, and the commissions that they're paid. And somehow we're supposed to feel bad for the people selling this stuff? Really?
I don't know.
So, folks, this is the kind of inside baseball that we have to deal with all the time. Michelle and I, both working under a fiduciary standard, have been doing this forever. And quite frankly, we just kind of stay away from the stuff that I just described to you because, quite frankly, you know, if it quacks, it's a duck. If there's so much of an issue with this, with people selling the stuff, maybe the consumers currently have issues that need to be disclosed, which is why the government's doing this in the first place. Now, I'm not a huge supporter of additional layers of regulation. God knows we have too much already, which really hurting our economy and certainly killing jobs out there.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I'm having a really difficult time feeling bad for people trying to justify a 7% commission without telling people how stuff works.
Absolutely. That's just a bit ridiculous.
So, and that is my opinion, and I suspect mm-hmm. it's Michelle's opinion, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's the opinion of the Chamber of Commerce or even Ameriprise. But then again, we're more concerned because we're the boots on the ground. We deal face-to-face with the clients and their families. We're the ones responsible for showing them how to achieve their goals and their objectives, trying to keep them safe, trying to keep them secure, and at mm-hmm. the same time doing what's in their best interest. So if that makes us bad people, I'll take it.
Doing what's in their best interest, not what's in our best interest.
Right.
So you always want to keep that in mind. All right, let's see. Earlier I talked about a new study that goes over some of the college majors that won't leave you drowning in
debt. Is that an oxymoron?
I'm sorry? I didn't hear what he said.
Oxymoron, college major.
Exactly. So, taking a look at some of the different measures that are out there, college graduates who studied medicine are in a far better position to pay back their student loans than grads who studied psychology, according to Credible, a San Francisco-based multi-lender marketplace, in a report released last Tuesday. So Credible looked at the debt-to-income ratio, which is a measure of financial health and creditworthiness, of 11,512 people seeking to refinance their student loans. If you take a look at kind of the degrees that had the lowest debt-to-income ratios, things like pharmacy, dentistry, and postgraduate medicine, economics was also very favorable. Well, that only makes sense, right? But some of the least favorable, again, things like psychology, education, history, nutrition. So,
what about dead languages?
That is not listed on the survey, but I'm sure that's probably up there.
Probably should be.
Nope, absolutely. So one thing it didn't account for, you know, obviously things like cost of living across the country, but it strictly just looked at the debt-to-income levels. And we've talked about, you know, numerous times about sitting down with your children and having the real discussion about college funding and college planning in terms of putting together, having them put together a business plan in terms of how they're going to potentially cover their cost of the education, whether it's something you help them pay for or not, and what they're going to be graduating with and what their job prospects will be and how they plan on getting there. I know a lot of parents these days want to be friends with their children. They don't necessarily want to be the quote-unquote bosses of their children. But guess what, folks? Sometimes it's important, especially when making major financial decisions related to college planning that could dramatically affect your own ability to retire someday.
I don't know, Michelle. How do you expect these parents to have those conversations when they're unwilling to even teach their children how to do their own laundry?
That is a very good question. I do not have an answer. Do not have an answer for that one. All right, let's see. Speaking a little bit about retirement, Kiplinger came out with their latest study in terms of some of the places to retire to that will not break your budget. And we always like to start this by saying, just because these are good places to retire that aren't going to break your budget does not mean that you need to live there. You should always, always check these places out before deciding that that's where you're going to live. You know, several times Joe and I have met with individuals, and when we talk about retirement, they say, oh, we're definitely retiring to, you know, such and such a place. We're like, oh, have you ever been there? Well, no, but we heard it's a great place to live. Well, guess what?
Or one of the people will actually say that, and then the spouse looks at them like, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah. Exactly. So the top place, drum roll please, is Decatur, Alabama. And believe it or not, we actually have a client that lives in Decatur, Alabama. The cost of living for retirees is about 11% below the U.S. average. Share of population 65 plus is right in alignment with the U.S. share, which is 14.5%. It is a tax-friendly state for retirees. Lifetime health care costs for a retired couple is below the U.S. average, so somewhere around $364,860. So the heart of Dixie offers many great spots for affordable living, but Decatur is the top pick. While the median home value is $176,700 for the nation as a whole, it's just $122,500 in Alabama and a little bit less than that in Decatur. The Tennessee River offers inexpensive options for outdoor recreation, including some of the state's best bass fishing in Wheeler Lake. The tax situation is equally attractive. Alabama does not tax Social Security and most pension income, and homeowners 65 and older are exempt from state property taxes and some, if not all, local property taxes. So again, that was listed as their top pick for this year. And then we also have places like Prescott, Arizona, which has a 3.7% below U.S. average cost of living, a share of population 65 plus of just under 31%. Let's see. Many of you may have considered the Grand Canyon State for the retiree-friendly climate and beautiful natural setting. Plus, the tax situation is equally attractive, has low income taxes and a lack of state taxes on Social Security. Prescott eases the stress on your retirement kitty even more with its below-average living cost, but affordable does not necessarily mean boring. They offer some active cultural scenes with numerous theaters, galleries, and music venues, as well as a wealth of things to do outdoors, including golfing and hiking. So those are just two of the top picks that Kiplinger has come up with for 2016. You can, you know, get the full list if you go to Kiplinger's website. But again, folks, you know, you always want to factor in what your retirement vision looks like. And you never want to retire somewhere just because it's less expensive, unless you actually do also want to live there because there are other things that are attractive to you as well. So things to keep in mind. All right, I guess we'll take a short break and then we'll wrap up today's show of Some Things About Money. So we'll be back in just a few minutes.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
All right, we're back to wrap up today's show of Some Things About Money here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Again, this is Michelle Heide with me, Joe Patton, both certified financial planners with Patton Heide & Associates. We can be reached at 908-713-6600. So I don't know about you, but I certainly feel like a dinosaur when it comes to technology. I remember sitting in my Spanish class in high school, and my Spanish teacher's brother was an executive in the banking industry. And that was right around the time his brother said, oh, you wait, 10 years from now, we're going to have these things called ATM cards that you'll be able to use at any store, any place. And voila, here we are, fast forward. Now that credit cards have been chipped, the banking industry has set its sight on modernizing another essential financial tool that's stuck in the 80s, which is when those started to come out, ATM cards. So you might have noticed that the fancy chip-enabled debit card you received does you no good at the ATM. That means counterfeit debit cards can still be used to steal your cash. Chip-enabled point-of-sale card readers were expensive for merchants, but nothing like the expense of replacing cash machines. So old-fashioned card skimming, in which a criminal electronically copies debit card data and PIN codes entered by consumers, then copies the data onto a counterfeit card, is still possible despite the transition to chip cards. So banks looking to tackle this problem aren't just adding chip readers to ATMs. They are rolling out a variety of new technologies to bring cash machines out of the 20th century. The key will probably be in your pocket instead of your wallet. So your smartphones might soon be your cash cards. So what is this eATM? Well, so-called contactless ATMs don't need a debit card at all. Account holders pull out their phone and either use a radio chip inside of it to tell the ATM to hand over some cash, sometimes called tap and pin, or they receive a one-time code text from their bank that's entered into the machine to unlock the cash. Phone-as-bank card technology has been used in Europe for a few years, but it's about to arrive for mainstream use in the U.S. this year. You probably remember Chase announced just a couple weeks ago a big rollout within a few months promising smartphone-enabled cash upgrades and a majority of its 18,000 machines by the end of the year. Their version will be the type of code the bank has texted version. Wells Fargo and Bank of America had made some similar announcements. All promised to eventually support some version of tap and pin. Well, why would you bother using your smartphone instead of pulling out plastic? While the new ATMs, called eATMs, have other convenient advantages as well. During an experiment in California, users seemed most interested in selecting the denominations they get during a withdrawal. But smartphone ATMs are much more than a gimmick, says a particular analyst with a consulting firm, Gartner. Phones can do a much better job of authenticating users. So smartphones do provide a much more secure form factor than chip cards do, as there are many sensors on smartphones to help with authentication and fraud detection. Fingerprint readers, cameras, the phone chip itself, the phone's movements, and its location. So consumers who use two-factor authentication at their bank website already know that involving their phone in an authentication process generally makes it safer. One-time passcodes or virtual tokens create a something you know and something you have two-step process for logging in. If you add smartphones into the mix, that will do what the two-factor authentication did for websites. So it also pushes some expense onto the consumers. No need for banks to mail replacement chip debit cards, not to mention that consumers might start using that digital debit card to make payments, netting the bank a new source of transaction fees. Yep, they're still looking to rack up those fees out there. Meanwhile, cell phone firms think the system will help with the consumer loyalty. So what you do want to do in the meantime, before some of this technology becomes more mainstream, you want to make sure that you minimize the odds of fraud by requesting ATMs, by frequenting the ATMs inside of buildings, regularly changing your PIN, and not storing those numbers alongside their plastic. Duh. You should also check your statements regularly for any unauthorized charges. I mean, I know nowadays people rarely even look at their statements because a lot of them are online, but you really should take the time each month to go through to make sure that nothing comes up strange. I know there are also measures to put in place. I know on my smartphone, anytime something is charged or there's a debit, it shoots a little thing in my window and it tells me what was put on the card so that I can make sure that nothing strange is going on. If you ever have reason to believe your personal information was compromised alongside your payment information, obviously keep an eye on your credit. So you want to make sure that you keep all those things in mind as well. You know, so the old thought of just using our thumbs someday to access all of our information is not so far-fetched after all. So make sure that you take good care of your thumbs. Keep them in your pockets at all times so someone doesn't try to steal them
I'm sure they'll figure out a way to do that as
I'm
well.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, the criminals always seem to be at least a full step ahead of law enforcement.
Yes, they do. So
that's what makes it interesting.
Absolutely.
But also interesting is that the Dow is up 119 points, the S&P up 18, the NASDAQ up 64.5. Europe, well, the FTSE ended up 37.89 points. The DAX was down about 0.8%. The CAC 40 finished down about 0.1%. Looking at that oil, well, a little bit of a recovery. Oil down 31 cents to $29.13 a barrel. And gold prices, well, no recovery there, down $26.20, over 2% to $1,213.20 an ounce. And then the yield on the 10-year Treasury continues to rise. It's now up to 1.7792. So, you know, the better things look, the higher the interest rates go on the 10-year.
Yep, absolutely.
So, lots of stuff, and most of it's probably going to continue to be driven by oil. And, you know, right now, you know, people are asking whether or not these oil prices are here to stay. Now, crude oil prices have fallen dramatically in 2015 and early 16, and that is as worldwide production has exceeded demand. In the short term, most prognosticators expect low prices to continue. Over in the U.S., well, U.S. production levels still remain relatively high. There are concerns that drilling activity will subside with prices dropping to levels that make production unprofitable, yet many industry analysts anticipate only modest decline in crude oil production for most U.S. basins, so supply levels should pretty much hold up. Now, while oil company stocks have been hit hard over the last year, it's not necessarily an indicator that the investment value of the stock should be as low as it is. More important to investors are the mid to long-term trends that are likely to develop. To evaluate this, we need to consider supply and demand trends for oil and better understand whether North American production will increase or tail off. Now, the oversupply, that could be temporary. Depending on analysis, estimates for the current global oversupply of crude oil stand between 700,000 barrels per day to 1.9 million barrels per day, quite a spread. The question is, at what point will demand begin to match supply? And that could be somewhere quite down the road. Over the next 5 years, global demand for crude oil is expected to rise an additional 5 to 6 million barrels a day. Based upon these projections, demand will quickly rise to the level of current supplies, which should lead to a recovery in oil prices in the near term and help sustain higher prices in the long term. Beyond North America, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, appears to have little spare production capacity, even if Iran is able to pursue its production goals. It's apparent that the growing demand for oil must come from elsewhere. How oil production is evolving? Well, also every oil well experiences natural declines in production. On top of that, international capital spending related to oil production growth has been slashed at the greatest pace in history. For example, TPH Energy Research estimates over 150 oil and gas projects have now been delayed or canceled. This may remove approximately 11 million barrels per day of future production, quite a bit. Now, while the financial damage to North American oil and gas producers as well as oil field service providers has been extreme over the past year, one positive result has been an increase in efficiencies in the production process. Therefore, we believe North American producers stand as the most likely incremental source of supply increases over the next 5 years and beyond. Ultimately, this should result in an improved investment environment in the energy stock sector. So, you know, just hang in there. Oil prices are expected to rebound based upon reductions in reserves. And we believe that the American industry is going to benefit greatly from it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, as usual, time flies when you're having fun talking about all this great information that's out there. And in the meantime, we have a green Tuesday so far, so we'll see if we end the day on a green Tuesday or not. A lot could happen between now and 4 o'clock. But anyway, enjoy your grouch day. What did I say? It was the do a grouch a favor day today. Don't forget to buy local, buy 100 in. And we'll be back again next week, same time, same place, from 11 to noon. Have a great day and a great week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
I'm disappointed. I really am. I really wanted to talk to them and hear their side.
Anti-Beyoncé protesters were a no-show today outside NFL headquarters in Manhattan. They were expected to protest Beyoncé's halftime performance at the Super Bowl, but the only ones to show were supporters of the singer. Critics say Beyoncé referred to the Black Panthers and the Black Lives Matter movement in her dancing and formations. The UN Security Council has announced the death of former UN Secretary General Boutros Boutros-Ghali. Venezuela's UN Ambassador Rafael Ramirez, the current council president, made the announcement at the start of a meeting on Yemen's humanitarian crisis and asked members to rise for a moment of silence. Boutros-Ghali, an Egyptian politician and diplomat, was the sixth Secretary General of the United Nations, serving from January 1992 to December 1996. A huge 400-carat diamond found in Angola is virtually flawless. A South African mining company announced the rare find yesterday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
For over 75 years, GEICO's been about consistency, as in we've consistently helped people save money on their car insurance. And to prove it, we'll air one of our first radio commercials from over 75 years ago.
At GEICO, we're all about consistency, as in we consistently help people save money on their car insurance. To prove it, you can call GEICO. Call us today, call us tomorrow, call us 75 years from now.
That was way more consistent than I expected.
GEICO, saving people money for over 75 years.
How big is Rite Aid's Big Point event? Plenty big. The more participating products you buy with Wellness Plus with Plenty, the more Plenty points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty points worth at least $50 in savings, only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
From record-shattering cold over the weekend to an expected deluge of rain, the East Coast